Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
We are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, hoping you'll send us stuff like sermons, stories, articles, and most certainly questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Please try to include your name unless it's kind of sensitive information, and then you can be a nani moo. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
We start off with an email from Adrian, who says, Todd, how do you continually improve as a communicator of the gospel?
By practicing. This is truly one of the most helpful things that you can do if you have the heebie-jeebies about sharing the gospel by going out and maybe talking to strangers or neighbors. Practice. Just find yourself another Christian. One of you has to play the role of a pagan, and then the other one does the witnessing, and you just practice it, and you role play, and you will simply get better at it. That is the way. Doesn't everything work that way? You get better at baking by doing it. You get better at lifting weights by doing it. Okay, some people get better at lifting weights by doing it. I've been pretty much stuck at about 15 pounds on every piece of equipment, but the rule still stands. You want to get better at sharing your faith. You want to get better at proclaiming the gospel. Practice. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, an interesting question from David, who's wondering if you have any advice for a single Christian dad who is co-parenting an 8-year-old whose mother and stepfather are unbelievers.
Yeah. Without trying to be evasive and not offer anything practical, might I suggest we start foundational? Dad, you can't control a lot of stuff. Your wife is not under your authority. She's now married and living with somebody else, and you're sharing the responsibilities of raising the child. You have limited access to the child. Remember God's sovereignty. The Lord loves your child even more than you do. The Lord is certainly aware of the dynamic. So before getting into any practical, rest in that. All you can do is be faithful. That's all you can do. And you can't wring your hands over, but if only I could. It's not, but if it's just not, it's not happening that way. That's not the relationship or dynamic. You rest in God's sovereignty and you simply do everything that you reasonably can, and you leave the consequences up to the Lord. So let's just be futurists for a moment, because there are no apostles that can predict future events anymore. Let's just imagine that you did the best you could, and there were 1,000 things more that you would like to have done, but you couldn't because of the dynamic. And your child turns 18 and says, Dad, I don't love the Lord. I'm not a Christian. How should you feel? Well, of course, sad. What parent wouldn't feel that way? But should you feel like, oh, it's my fault? No, you shouldn't, because everything is up to the Lord. Perhaps in particular, salvation is of the Lord's. You are called to faithfulness, and then you can rest in that, knowing that God is good and able and faithful. He is kind. He is loving. He is good. He is gracious, filled with loving kindness. He loves his children, which means he loves you. You can rest. in where things are at today. Keep working for the future. Keep doing your best to stay in a relationship with your child. Keep loving your child. Keep sharing your faith with the child as much as you can. But leave the results to God. Be faithful. So that would lead us then to the practical. What can you do to be faithful? When you have the child, be careful that you don't try to make everything about a Bible lesson because you've got a limited amount of time. You still want to have a relationship with your child. You still want to do things. Try to be careful to not become preachy, but don't let that give you permission to never preach at all. Try to be sensitive. Try to be super loving toward your ex-wife and her new husband to foster as much of a relationship as possible so that they don't start trying to counter you on the other end. And go about the business of being in a relationship with your daughter, doing fun things, doing homework, teaching her the Bible pretty much like you would if she lived at home. And then leave the results to the Lord. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, here, let's stay in the home for just a second. This one comes from Daniel, who is wondering if you have advice to a young Christian adult seeking to promote peace in an increasingly tense atmosphere in the family home.
Yeah, yeah, actually I do, because I've seen this work. A child has far more control over the home's thermostat than he currently believes that he does. I'm not talking about the one on the wall that you're not supposed to put your mitts on. I'm talking about the climate of your home. Is it warm? Is it loving? Is it hostile? Is it filled with just this constant sense of any moment things could just melt down? You can affect that change. Now, I would say to you the same thing that we just said to Dad. You got to leave the results to the Lord. All you can do is be faithful. There is such tremendous liberation in getting this thought embedded into our brain. The results are the Lord's. You are not going to pull the strings and make everything. You're not going to bring perfect peace to your home. You can't do it. The Lord might choose to do it. He calls you to be faithful. And I would suggest to you, if you want to see a change affected in your home, if you're already doing this, rock on. Then just stay the course. But if not, take a look at how you're doing as a son or daughter and ask yourself the question, could I be better at this? Could I be more respectful? Could I honor my parents more obedient, do more things around the house? You'll be shocked if you up your game as a son or daughter. You might just start to see mom and dad thaw and become warmer. You can affect that change to the degree that God, of course, sovereignly allows it. But that's your role of faithfulness. Be super son, be super daughter. And to motivate you and to encourage you, remembering the sovereignty of God, you're in that home because God wants you there. So you perhaps have a family dynamic that's rotten. Well, now you know what your ministry is. If you've been wondering, what can I do for the Lord? Be a great son or daughter. Maybe that doesn't sound all that thrilling to you. Well, it should, but if it doesn't, remember that God has you there because he wants you there, and he has given you gifts because he wants to win your family, if they're not saved, to him, because that is what the whole shebang is about. And that is what should guide our decision making in everything. I'm currently writing a book on this subject, so I'm kind of like, nah, about this. But the reason that I feel so zealous about trying to shout loudly that God is sovereign, he just calls us to faithfulness because he's writing the script for the planet. We're not. And call us a bit player, whatever, but just the same, we're on God's stage and he's orchestrating everything because he wants to bring glory to himself through the redemptive work of his son. And all we need to do is be faithful in that and leave the rest to him. And you just go, I can live with that. You get into a fender bender. You wouldn't have if God didn't want you to. And so rightly understood, you get into a car accident. Well, God ordained that. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. You cannot kick the tragedy can down the street. The buck is ultimately going to stop with the Lord, who, by the way, would not be sinning if he made all of us get into accidents, like one huge international pileup. He wouldn't be sinning. It's his prerogative. It happened because he wanted it to happen, because he's doing something for you, and he's doing something that is working out his plan to bring glory to himself through the redemptive work of his son. And when you can get that fixed and start making decisions, determining how you're going to behave as a son, daughter, or parent, spouse, employee, I'm thinking about the Lord. What does the Lord want me to do? How does he want me to be faithful in this situation? Well, then I can just relax. And that also goes for doing the right thing. You're afraid to tell your spouse that you looked at porn. Why? Because you know what's going to happen. Perhaps. But that's not your job. Fear the Lord. Do what is right. And leave the outcome to him, because he's sovereign and he is good and he is able and he is faithful. All right, Jimmy, what's the next email? You should have seen the producer's face. This is Wretched Radio. Yes, you want to save money because, after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our family's health and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save on average $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think, well, this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but Wretched.org earlier this year got a facelift, and you should go take a gander at all of the changes. You'll still find full-length Wretched TV and Wretched Radio episodes, but here's something new. You can now watch the entire Wretched Radio episodes from the Daily Radio Show post. You can listen and now watch the entire show. And that's not the only change you'll notice at Wretched.org, so go check it out as you get some time, and we want to take just a moment to thank our gospel partners for making it happen. Running a website takes a lot of time, effort, and resources, but changing a website can sometimes take even more, and so we're grateful for all of our gospel partners. So when you visit Wretched.org, take a peek at our donate page and find out how you can become an ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partner too. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Permit me to introduce you to Bree and Salvation Dominoes, preborn style.
When one person gets saved, they have that burning desire to just make him known the same way that was made known to them. And then it's just this domino effect.
Bree currently volunteers at a preborn life center. How did she get saved? From a friend whose mother got saved at, you guessed it, a preborn life center. Why? Because preborn, it is indeed about saving babies' lives via $28 ultrasounds, but it is also sharing the gospel so that moms and dads get saved. And look at the domino effect. Would you please consider supporting preborn centers with as many free ultrasounds as you can? $28 for an ultrasound 80% of the time saves a life. Learn more at preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Emails, please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Try to include your name unless it's private, but otherwise we'd be grateful for questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. Don't forget, keep sending stories and sermons, articles, good, bad, or otherwise. Would be so grateful if you'd send it to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one is from John. He wanted to know if you could give him some type of parameters and limits for hospitality. He said his wife and he were recently married and a friend needed a place to stay, so they welcomed her into their spare room for what they thought would be a couple of weeks. It's turned into six. And now the friend will not communicate with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've got one word that I think will help all of us regarding guests that perhaps overstay their welcome. Pineapple. You need to get a pineapple and put it on the table, and then they'll just leave.
What? I love pineapple. I would stay longer.
But that's because you don't know the cultural trend. Now, this is what I was told when we were in Savannah, Georgia. You'll see pineapples all over the place, which is a little strange because, to the best of my knowledge, they're not growing pineapples in Savannah. It was kind of a very special, ooh, you've got a pineapple. Was actually watching a show on, it was a British TV show. The woman's name is Mary Berry. I think that's kind of a showbiz name. And this woman, she's in her 80s. I know that. And she travels around to those great manor houses and she cooks. She's apparently one of Britain's popular chefs. And this dignified lady travels to these estates and you get to see how these Downton Abbey-like homes are run, meet the family, and then she cooks for them. And in this particular episode, peaches were the delectable fruit. And if you wanted to knock out your guest, you gave him a peach. In Savannah, if you wanted to kick out your guest, you put a pineapple out, or so I was told. If the guests, it's time for them to go, you'd grab the pineapple, you'd put it in a very obvious place, and they would get the hint, it's time for us to go, dear. So there you go. Pineapple.
Had no idea.
So maybe that's not the most helpful advice. How's about this word? Communication. Communication. This is, I think, one of the reasons we have so many anxious moments with one another, relationships in family and in churches, with neighbors, friends. It's these things feel a little delicate, so we don't want to talk about it, but then we talk about it. Here's what inevitably happens. You've got something going on, let's say, at church. Well, but I don't want to tell the pastor, because it would just be too uncomfortable. And then you spend the next 20 minutes just lambasting the pastor, complaining or carping about it, when you should have been talking to him, working through it. And I think that dynamic happens a million times to us. You're kind of staying a long time. When are you going to be leaving? How do you do that? Well, the answer is the same answer to the question, how do I confront somebody in their sin, especially if they've sinned against you? Well, first of all, you pray for your own heart. You pray for your own motivation. You pray that you will have the right tone as you go about the business of praying for the right words to be spoken that are suitable and that are helpful, so that you don't approach it because you're annoyed that it's time for you to go already. What's your goal? What's your agenda? Why is that person having to stay? Have you asked those questions? Are they doing everything they can? So I could come up with a scenario, but that's not all that helpful because let's face it, conversations are way more organic. And anytime you hear somebody say, well, you can say this and then they'll say that and then you'll say this. Well, that sounds nice for a Hollywood movie when you pay some actors to say the lines, but it doesn't work out that way. So consider your motives, pray for wisdom, pray for kindness, pray for the right words, the right tone, and then just talk to them. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Here is a question from Tiffany. She says she has a question about when it's biblical to leave a church. Her family is planted in a God-loving, God-fearing church that just misses the mark in two critical areas, female pastors and spiritual gifts. She said when they started attending the church, they didn't know much about the Bible, but as they've matured in Christ and grown in knowledge of his word, they've come to understand that what the church teaches is not exactly what the Bible teaches.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot, and it's hard, and it hurts because you love those people, but you're growing. So here's the first thing that you want to do is lock yourself in the cage so that you don't become toxic, even in a church that's wonky. You want to be loving and gracious and show that your theology makes you sweeter, not more sour, sweeter. So there you are in your cage. What can you do? That really is the question. What can you do? Are you in a position to affect any sort of change? Are you a member? Are you a part of any sort of leadership committees? Do you even have a relationship with the pastor? If you do not have any of those aforementioned things in place and your church is doing something like female pastors, which means by definition, the reformers would tell you, if an organization has a woman leading it, you can call it a corporation or a business, but you can't call it a church because it's not. If you can approach, if you have the ability to affect change, you can try to do that for a season and see the response. Otherwise, in this particular situation, if you've got a difference of opinion on this issue, then it is an issue that is a bridge that is just too far to cross. As far as spiritual gifts, that would be a little bit different, perhaps, because it depends on how they manifest or think they're manifesting those gifts. It depends on if they force it. You've got to be doing this gift in order to be saved. Okay, well, those are deal breakers. But it could be that you've got a difference of opinion on spiritual gifts. We even have that in conservative circles sometimes. That might allow you to stay there if it's the best church. Here's one principle, and if you'd like more details on this, we have probably done no less than 50 programs on the subject of when to leave the church. So if you go to wretched.org, you can use the search engine, you can go to the YouTube machine and just when to leave a church, you'll probably find a lot of helpful information. But here's just one principle I would leave with you. I believe the biblical mandate for the Christian is to find the best local church they can, join it and serve there, and not stay in a stinker and try to fix it. Find the best local church you can, join it, serve. But if you're in a place where it's apostate, it's heretical, it is not your job to right that ship. It's your job to find a good church and join it. And it's your job to send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Mornay. It was wondering, they have an atheist friend, and when explaining that God does whatever he does for his own glory, the friend then asked, why does God need glory? If he's this infinitely self-sufficient, self-sustaining, need nothing being, why does he need glory from creation?
Well, I'm glad the fellow understands aseity. You're right. God needs absolutely nothing. He's self-sustaining. He enjoys himself totally. He is in need of nothing. And so God doesn't need to create a universe in order to have sinners who would fall into sin so he could send his son so that they could have their sins paid for, they could be born again, they could inherit eternal life, and then God could be seen as the most kind being in the universe because of his amazing kindness demonstrated in his son. He doesn't need to do that, because if he doesn't, I'm just not as content and fulfilled. I need to bring glory. He doesn't need to do that. It is the kindest thing he can do. It is the single nicest thing anybody can ever do. Give the best thing. What kind of parent has their child watch trash? Well, sadly, a lot of parents these days, but not a good parent. What do you want them? Stuff that's good for them. Stuff that you know is loftier and better. Do you feed them food that's past its expiration date? No, you feed them the fresh stuff and you feed them the nutritious stuff, even when it's maybe not the tastiest stuff, because you know it's best for them. God pointing to himself is the best and kindest thing that he can do for people. It's God seeking glory through the redemptive work of his son is an act of kindness. It's an act of goodness. Knowing God is the most delightful ideal to which any human being can aspire. And so to your friend, I would say, you're right. God doesn't need anything. That is the doctrine of aseity. Go read one of the old confessions on the subject. It's well worth noting. But having said that, he desires to bring glory to himself because it is the kindest thing that he can do. And if I could forge a lame segue, one of the kindest things you can do is send questions, comments, conundrum, snarks to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. According to global health statistics, abortion killed 12 times as many people in 2021 as COVID-19. So that makes one wonder, why are we not running around doing everything we can and making all types of mandates and laws to save the lives lost to abortion? Well, it's because those lives lost to abortion, they don't further the political agenda of the left, so they don't really matter. Release International, a watchdog calling itself the voice of persecuted Christians, has released a list of countries that are considered to be hotspots for Christian persecution this year. Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Afghanistan, India, and North Korea top the list at no surprise to any of us. And as we remind you nearly daily here at Wretched, please, please make sure that you are consistently and intentionally praying for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. A city councilman and business owner in Maine has gotten some headlines recently. The man, Andrew Zorro, owns a coffee shop in addition to serving as a city councilman. At his coffee shop, he thought it a good idea that in addition to coffee, he sells some stickers. And these stickers are hateful and offensive to some people. Apparently, Mr. Zorro has a pretty big hatred for God and Republicans. I wonder how people would feel if he was selling anti-LGBT or anti-liberal stickers. Something tells me that wouldn't fly, but as long as it's God hates, I guess it's all okay. Well, attempts to overturn the Supreme Court ruling in a case against a Belfast bakery has been rejected. The case reached its conclusion 7 years after the Christian-led Asher's Baking Company refused to write, quote, support gay marriage on a cake. It was found that the two evangelical Christians who owned the bakery had not discriminated on the grounds of sexual orientation and that the couple had an issue with the message of the cake rather than the individual who bought it. And according to a spokesman for the Christian Institute, this was good news for free speech, good news for Christians, and good news for the couple that owns the bakery. Not so good news comes from Belgium, which has been criticized for its radical euthanasia law for years. Now the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva is putting the country under universal periodic review in which human rights records are scrutinized and may be called to consider reforms. Several have urged Belgium's government to improve its treatment of persons with disabilities and the elderly. In 2014, Belgium law changed to enable doctors to end the lives of children at any age, and euthanasia is also legal for people just because they have mental health problems. This type of thinking reeks of eugenics, and it's an idea that needs to be banished completely and totally from history. Let's pray this is something the UN actually gets right. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the Apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What you waiting for? Please send the questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, anytime you see something wretched, we do covet those articles, sermons, stories, YouTube videos, whatever. Please send it to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, this one comes from Trey, who was curious if you might believe that churches are missing an opportunity with child daycare as a mission field. Is it in a perfect world where church members are giving, wouldn't churches be able to offer daycare to its congregation? Is it possible that a well-funded church could offer daycare or even the equivalent of homeschooling for older children?
If you happen to be watching this radio program via video, which I guess technically wouldn't make it a radio program, I am typing into my search engine, daycare statistics, how affects children. Okay, there's probably a more efficient way to get that information into the Google machine, but that's what I put in here. And the results are nationally 15% of children younger than 5 years old regularly attend more than one child care arrangement. That's not what I'm looking for. I am looking for this type of an article, which is really the first big link to pop up. Measuring the long-term effects of early extensive daycare. Because I do think that word extensive is important. Because I do believe if we want to utilize anything the secularists do when it comes to studying outcomes, if you will, scientifically, we can glean from the amount of money they want to spend to do all of those studies. But I think that you would see that if you've ever studied daycare outcomes, there is a difference between extensive and, well, we'll just say less extensive. So here's one article, measuring the long-term effects of early extensive daycare. Here's the next article. What do we know about the effects of early childcare from Purdue University? And it goes on and on with a bunch of different articles. You'll find a bunch. And so the reason I was making guttural sounds is I think that to ask the question, are we missing an opportunity with daycare? Because it could be a missionary evangelistic opportunity. I think it's to jump over a question that needs to precede it. And that is daycare good for kids? Do children benefit from it? Do they thrive under the care of others? Or is it ideal for a child? And we can debate till what age, which is why I wanted to table the homeschool concept for a moment. Up to a certain age, is it best for mom to be the primary caregiver of the child? And I think that if you just do a quick Google search, you're going to discover it's really not debatable. Kids who are in extensive daycare, they don't thrive. They have long-term personality effects. How they do in school, that's another aspect of daycare. They promise that if your child goes to daycare, they're going to read better. And guess what? It appears that that's accurate until they're about four. And then the other kids catch up. It doesn't ultimately make a difference, but we do see other educational issues. We see emotional issues. We see attachment issues. We see anger issues because of daycare. And so before we ask the question somewhat pragmatically, hey, could this cause us to reach people? I think we should spend a little more time asking, should we be doing daycare at all? Now, does that mean that a parent can never put their child into the care of another? Didn't say that. We're talking about extensive daily daycare where your small child, your young child is under the care of another whose ratio of attention is not going to be as good as yours at home. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, could it be a dynamic that grandma takes care of the child for X number of hours per day? Yeah, because it's familial. It's not a revolving door of employees, and it's not chaotic in any way. It's definitely loving. Grandma is going to love your child more than somebody who, as sweet as those people can be, somebody who works at daycare, because it's grandma. So I'm not suggesting that those types of arrangements can never happen. I'm also not suggesting it couldn't be something that you needed to do for a shorter amount of time. per day because of life circumstances. Not going to make a law where there is no law. But I do believe that more Christian families need to know with full disclosure the effects of daycare, because overall, it's been proven they're not good. And I don't think a church should be doing something that's not good in order to potentially accomplish a good, potentially. That's pragmatism. We should always shun and reject that. As far as the church, though, becoming like a homeschool center for older kids where they go for 4 hours a day, rock on, rock on. That's fine. That's like sending your kid to school. It's better because they're going to church. So I'm not going to try to, at this age and this many hours, I simply would plead with all of us, especially if you're a church considering this, not what will the effects be potentially positively, but what do we know to be the negative effects, and should we be doing it at all? One last note, if I might. Could there be a dynamic in a season where there is a single mom and she has to work, or she and the child starve? Those scenarios are not uncommon. The ideal, and I'm not trying to be naive, but the ideal is that she would stay with her child. Church would take care of that family. That's the ideal. Would I say, how dare a church and a single mom make an arrangement to provide care for the child under this circumstance? Of course I wouldn't. It's a difficult circumstance, and sometimes we do the things that we have to do to get through these things, as long as they're not sinful. So I don't want to make any sort of law. Who would I be to make such a thing anyway? Study daycare and its effects. Then decide if your church wants to become a daycare center. And please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right.
Jimmy, how many people are going to be mad at me for what I just said?
A lot.
Okay.
All right. So say yes.
Yes.
Okay. You just answered the next question.
All righty then.
This one comes from Chris. He says, what should our motivation be to share the gospel? Is it primarily about seeing men saved from hell, or is it about God's glory?
Yep. Yes, it is. I think I mentioned this earlier this week on Wretched Radio, that the verse in Daniel is so striking. I was trying to compile the case that some of us will enjoy heaven more or less than others. Please note, all of us are going to enjoy heaven to the maximum capacity that we can. There's just going to be different capacities that we possess. And so, for lack of a better illustration, although you can never do poorly with an Elvis illustration, Jimmy, yes. How much do you like the King of Rock and Roll?
Well, that's a tricky question to ask me, because I'm from Memphis.
Okay. Nevertheless.
So I love him.
All right. How often do you listen to his music?
Never.
Okay. Jimmy never listens to Elvis, says he loves him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. There are other people, and I'm not going to point fingers at myself, that actually still listen to him, especially like between 68 and 73. Nevertheless, the person who listens to the Elvis, who maybe finds an interest in reading this or that or watching a video about visiting the museums that have Elvis tchotchkes, my question would be, there's your two people. They're both headed to Graceland. Who's going to enjoy the tour more? It's not Jimmy. He's going to dig the Kentucky room, because you can't not dig the Kentucky room. He might go, wow, this is like a 70s throwback, man. Daddy-o, this place is just screaming shag carpet. The other person, though, who loves more, who spends more time studying about Elvis, going to enjoy the tour more. And the same thing is true with heaven. That is why I think, rightly understood, I don't believe that we want the Roman Catholic understanding of this. We want the Puritan understanding of being fit for heaven, living life with an eye on eternity, so that I am doing things that expand my capacity to enjoy the Lord more when I get to heaven. Please note, You're going to enjoy him to the max. It's just that your max is going to be more or less than other people's max based on how they have been fitted for heaven. Please note, Jesus fits us for heaven. He takes care of it all. But he does encourage us to do things that will help us to love him more, appreciate him better. If you will, we'll have a bigger cup, going to fill it. Some people, they're going to have shot glasses. Okay, bad illustration. There won't be shot glasses in heaven. My point is, you'll have a greater or lesser capacity. Having said all of that, it brings me then to the verses that I was studying in Daniel chapter 12, that the stars that shine brighter are those that win souls. Do it for the glory of God? Absolutely. But we can't discount that God offers rewards for soul winning. He who wins souls is wise. And he who does that, your star is going to shine brighter. This is Wretched Radio. Don't tell me you couldn't use a little encouraging news. This is from Paul Marty. He is the executive director of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Clubs, meeting all throughout Eastern Europe to bring impoverished nations and families the gospel.
You know, most Tomorrow Clubs work in former communist communities where we find so many kids and families living hopeless lives. But with the help of the Wretched audience, we've been able to bring the gospel, hope, and long-term discipleship to thousands of kids in these forsaken communities.
Praise God for that. Would you please consider joining our effort to reach these kids and their families to strengthen local churches in Eastern Europe? $30 a month, 30 disciples. It is an outstandingly efficient gospel-centered ministry. Please prayerfully consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
90. It's New Year's resolution time. But before you make yours, I have a different type of challenge for you. How about instead of resolving to be a better person this year, you instead commit to leaving a legacy for Christ? And one surefire way you can do just that is by becoming a monthly Wretched Gospel partner. Currently, Wretched Radio and TV is seen and heard on nearly 1,000 stations combined worldwide. The second season of Road Trip to Truth has just been released with season 3 in production, solving the God puzzle on its way to 1 million copies distributed and transformed. Our latest TV series highlighting biblical counseling is set to debut later this year. We're striving to reach people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're only able to do that with the support of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider joining us? Just log on to wretched.org/donate to get all of the details. wretched.org/donate.
Good news, there are actually thousands of pastors in Germany. The bad news is they're not very equipped.
Theological training in Germany and in Europe is so needed because you don't really get any formal training, not in a church or anywhere else. Being at a TMAI training center, probably the first time that you ever get any formal training how to understand scripture, the church, and how to apply it in your own life.
Germany is not the only nation that has a drought of qualified pastors, but the Master's Academy International is changing that, one country at a time, currently in 17 nations, with mini seminaries, with graduates from the Master's Seminary, training indigenous men to rightly divide the word of truth. Would you please consider adopting your own seminary in one of 17 nations? Please visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who knew we were so relevant? Now, this This is the very relevant Wretched Radio, courtesy of you, because you called 1-877-282-BEEP. You left contemporary issue voicemails, specifically church signs about Christmas, which makes us very relevant. Okay, not by the world standards, but by evangelicalism standards. We are so far ahead of the curve. Jimmy, just being a few weeks behind the actual event. We're elevation current, man. We're that contemporary.
We're trendsetters.
Because I'm telling you, the contemporary cool churches are almost always throwbacks to the big 80s concerts that they do on Sunday morning. They bring back parachute pants. I wouldn't be shocked if this hasn't been done already. Pet Rock Church. Okay. All right, team. Disruptors, innovators, get in here. We need to figure out a way to grow the church. And, you know, remember those Pet Rocks, man? That was so cool. What could we do with Pet Rocks for a Sunday service? Yeah, go ahead. Stan, what do you got? Well, we could give everybody a Pet Rock. Well, hold on. That could be a little expensive. No, we'll just go out into a field and grab some and put them into a box. So it's pretty cheap. We'll give everybody a Pet Rock, and then we'll kick off the Sunday service with music from Kid Rock.
Oh, genius.
Sarah, you got something? Yeah. When it's all done and people are leaving, we give them all a little box, those little single-sized boxes of Fruity Pebbles. That's what we do. We got ourselves a rock service here with a pebble theme. It's going to be brilliant and big, and the people are going to come. Don't be surprised if that hasn't already happened. 1-877-282-BEEP. Before we get to your relevant church sign voicemails, want to tell you about a phone call I just had. A buddy of mine was scratching his head about the insurance business. What to do? It's so expensive. And all of the different fine print that you're dealing with. I encouraged him to call MediShare. I didn't tell him, you've got to sign up for MediShare. Why? Because there isn't any sort of program that is perfect for everybody. Now, I believe MediShare is great for most bodies, but it might not be right for his particular family and his particular dynamic. So I said, call them, but brace yourself. It could get a little funky for you. Takes about 2 minutes to have a conversation with somebody about how much you would save every month, because MediShare Affordable Biblical Health Sharing, you save on average $500 a month now that I've got your attention. And they will also answer any questions you want. So they'll go for as long as you, hey, what about this? My child has that. We've got a pre-existing condition. Would this be covered? Ask those questions. They will happily answer them for you to see if it is right for you, like it is for 400,000 other Christians. But just be prepared. Chances are really high. At the very end, they might do something to kind of just jar you a little bit. They're going to pray for you. That's right. That's what happens with the MediShare. It's Christians bearing the health burdens of others by making sure that other Christians' bills get paid. You pay theirs, they pay yours, and you save on average $500 a month. So call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE. And don't forget, as long as you've got your telephone active, call Beep Talk so we can be relevant.
Christmas church sign. A long time ago in a Galilee far away.
Oh, no, not a Galilee. Does God have a sense of humor? Yes. Psalm 2. When men conspire, when kings think that they're going to kick God off of his throne, God laughs. Furthermore, I think we see examples. Now, granted, it is Jewish humor, which is a little different than the humor that we're used to. But you do see humor in the Bible. Go read, sorry about this, the NLT version of Ecclesiastes 12. It's kind of funny. It's not. because it describes how life devolves when you get old, which is why you should seek to glorify God in your youth while you still have energy. Your eyes work, you can hear stuff, and your grinders, your teeth, can chew food. So get on it. But it's poetically written, but it's somewhat humorously written. Jesus used a bit of humor. Now, again, it's Semitic humor. It doesn't come across like, funny, but God has a sense of humor, but not as his own, not at his own expense, not making fun of himself, not diminishing his work. When you think about the birth of the baby in Bethlehem, that's a big event, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's the culmination of God's prearranged plan. Every single molecule that God was controlling, which is every single molecule before Jesus was born, he orchestrated all of it. And it wasn't just in Israel, the Medo-Persians, Babylons, whatever the empire was, the Egyptians. God was sovereignly orchestrating to bring it to just the right time. At this moment, Jesus would be born. And we're going to turn it into a really bad pun.
I have a church sign my husband shared with me, and it is almost profane. It said, Jesus has a list, and he's checking it twice here at the Christmas season.
Well, all right, we don't want to say that God doesn't have lists, because he does, but the whole point of Christmas is that he tears up the list. Our account gets destroyed, and it gets replaced with the account of Jesus Christ. Got to be careful with church sign theology.
Church sign, is God your steering wheel or your spare tire?
Is that where Carrie Underwood goes to church? I'm just curious, because I came dangerously close to saying that the other day. It came into my mind. I squashed it really fast, but it was in the context of simply submitting to God's will, letting him run the universe because he's going to do it anyway, and just letting the Lord rule your life. And it was at that moment I thought, you need to let him take the wheel. And then when the segment was over, I sat in a corner, sucked my thumb, and cried. Please send your beep talks to 1-877-282-BEEP. Jesus has the wheel. That's the problem with that song. Jesus has the wheel of the universe, including your every molecule's got a wheel, and he's steering it. Our problem is we think we can do the steering, and we might actually do it better. We can't. So you've simply got a choice. You can either acknowledge what Jesus is doing, get into the passenger seat or even the back seat. My opinion about myself, I'm happy to be in the trunk. Let God do what he's going to do. You're called to faithfulness. He's driving the bus. I'm not sure if I mixed up our metaphors here, but I think you get the point.
This left kind of a bad taste in my mouth. Country road church signs. OMG, I heart you.
Yeah, those minced oaths. When I think about Ephesians 4, about 28 all the way through 5:4, it gives a laundry list of ways that Christians are supposed to be talking. No filthy word, no coarse gestures, no double entendres. We are not crude people. We should be semnos, dignified people. And I think a part of using our words rightly and considering how we can blaspheme God's name is using it in a diminished capacity so that we don't feel like we're blaspheming. That's what a minced oath is. And if you will notice, all of these expressions that we use and that the pagans use drives me bonkers. It's really clear that what we're referring to. Okay, even if it's gosh, that's just a euphemism for God. See, I didn't say God and blaspheme. I said gosh. Actually, I think minced oaths do blaspheme. There's one in, I think it's Britain. I think it's Britain that uses the term. I'm just going to spell it because I find it a little difficult to say. C-R-I-K-E-Y. What is that? It's another way of saying Christ. Why would we do that? That's a minced oath. And so for the Christian, I think we should all be called up to a little bit higher, to have a little bit more reverence for the name of God. Jeez, you're being really uptight. Oops, that was another minced oath. What is G's short for? Jesus, isn't him? Okay, this one I grant you, this might be a little too far. Holy smokes. Holy whatever. Wait, whoa. What does holiness have to do with you stubbing your toe or getting some shocking news? Let's just call our language up to esteem the name of the Lord, perhaps a little bit higher than OMG. Oof. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.